Good morning. This is Pat Richardson with Seniors 2.0. Welcome to our show today. Today is August 14th, so the clock says it's 11 o'clock for our show. Seniors 2.0, in case our listeners are not familiar with what our show is about, our show is a weekly show. We come on at 11. We're here for an hour in Carrboro. It's a nice, sunny, breezy day. And our show focuses on seniors and anything that relates to seniors in their lives. So we talk about relationships, we talk about politics, health, fun, nutrition, and anything else and above. So if you're interested in hearing a wonderful topic, just shoot us an email at wcomfm.org. You can find an email address and everything there at the website. And just shoot us an email and let us know if you're interested in a specific topic, and we'll make sure to see if we can find some experts to talk about that topic and to educate our listeners. Our call-in line is 919-246-9639, and today I'm by myself. My sidekick and partner Heather Resnick is not with me today, so we miss her, and so bear with me if hopefully we won't have any technological challenges today. But we're joined by wonderful guests in our show today. We have two wonderful guests here in the studio, plus we have one guest who's going to call in with us and who's online holding right now. Today's show is actually about Alzheimer's disease and music and memory, alive inside. So that's our topic today, and we're going to talk from a very personal note, and then we're going to hear about a wonderful program, Music and Memory, and hopefully we'll share some information that will touch the hearts of our listeners today, and we'll share some information as well on our 5K, which is coming up on September 13th. So, I'm going to read a couple bios before we bring Dave Roth on the show. So, Dave Roth, he's been an active musician and teacher for over 25 years. His love for music has taken him to New York City, where he spends most of his nights performing for Broadway musicals. I'm going to get my tickets in the mail pretty soon. His other passion is an advocate for the Alzheimer's Association in New York City and also as a lobbyist on Capitol Hill. He is the founder of the Broadway Alzheimer's iPod Drive to further the therapeutic work of Dan Cohen and Music and Memories work with personalized music. Let's bring Dave onto the show, and then I'm also going to introduce Amy Gourley and Lynn Sadler as well. So we're going to bring Dave on, and we're going to chat with him for just a few minutes, okay? Bear with me one second to make sure we have all of our technology put together. Dave, are you there?
Hello. Hi, Pat.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to North Carolina. Welcome to Carrboro.
Well, thank you. It's beautiful here.
It is. It is. It is beautiful here. It is. So you're in New York. How's the weather there?
It's actually, today is spectacular. I think the high would be about 78 degrees.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
That's a good day to be walking the streets and shopping.
Definitely. Definitely.
While I have you online, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our other guest, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
So, again, Amy Gourley, she's joining us, and Amy serves as the Director of Strategic Initiatives and Outreach at Carolina Meadows, which is a CCRC community in Chapel Hill. She has been involved in aging services as a staff member, board member, and community advocate for the past 10 years. Amy has a background in nonprofit administration and has also worked at UNC Chapel Hill and as a consultant. In her outreach role at Carolina Meadows, Amy has helped to develop the Chatham County Music and Memory Initiative. And I'm honored to say that we're joining the team and going to be working with Amy from Galloway Ridge. This initiative aims to bring personalized music to residents with memory impairment in 6 local elder care facilities. On a personal note, Amy wanted us to share that her grandfather has Alzheimer's disease, and she can speak to the power of music in his life. Thank you for joining us, Amy.
Thank you.
Dr. Lynn Sadler, a resident of Galloway Ridge at Farrington. So I'm going to share a little history on who Dr. Sadler is. Should I call you Lynn?
Lynn.
Great. Former college president, a distinguished woman of North Carolina. I didn't know that. Is a writer and an editor.
Maybe I'm not really.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I know you are.
I knew that.
She's a writer and an editor, and is widely published in academics and creative writing. She is. She set up what is thought to be the first microcomputer laboratory in the country for teaching writing, was visiting distinguished scholar in educational leadership at the United States Office of Personnel Management, better known as, I remember the word OPM, the acronym. I used to live in Washington, D.C. Directed the National Endowment for the Humanities Summer Seminar for College and the Award for Exceptional Service to the History of the State from the North Carolina Society of Historians. One of her former Bennett College students was responsible for her 2010 selection for the National Women's Hall of Fame. As the Gilbert Chappelle Distinguished Poet 2013 to 2015, she mentors student and adult poets. And Lynn is going to share with us a story from one of our residents as well, and so we'll talk with her about this resident. She's been talking with a resident at Galloway Ridge and doing some really wonderful work with her conversations with this resident. And she'll share more information as we talk with her. So Dave, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
I am.
So I didn't send you kind of all the background information and directions on questions and all that, because I really wanted you just to talk with us from a really personal note about your family and your involvement with music and memory. So can you just take us back a little bit and give us a little history with how you became involved with music and memory, and share a little bit about your family as well and your mom and dad?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my mother, I have a very big family. I have six brothers and sisters. We grew up in central Kansas, and about timeline gets kind of gray. I think that this is pretty common with Alzheimer's. I think most people that experience it in their family, the diagnosis of Alzheimer's and actually when you probably see signs of Alzheimer's are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe my mom was probably diagnosed about 5 years ago, I guess now, 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
And when she was diagnosed, that we, as a family, you know, decided it was time to talk to my dad about possibly getting some help and maybe making a move out of their home.
Mm-hmm.
And so when this process started happening, during the process, I should say, about a year later, my dad was diagnosed as well. So both my parents have Alzheimer's, and my grandmother, although she was not diagnosed in the 70s, which is not uncommon, I believe strongly that she died of Alzheimer's in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
So when we went through this process of moving them, I wanted to get involved with Alzheimer's and be an advocate, you know, because I thought I wanted to learn more. So I reached out to my local chapter here in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And was very, very fortunate because it's such a large chapter being in that it's in New York City here. They had a lot of resources. And one of the things I learned is that I could be kind of an Uber advocate in a program called the Ambassador Program, where I would actually become a lobbyist in D.C.
Oh, that's great.
And then, through that work, it led me to the movie Alive Inside, which is a documentary film. Michael Rosato Bennett has directed this film about the work of Dan Cohen, a social worker here in New York City, and it follows his work as a social worker in institutions and introducing personalized music therapy.
Okay.
And I will say that he doesn't like using that term as much because I think there's it kind of crosses the border of, well, is this music therapy or not? I like to use that word as a layperson because I've seen it work, and it is music therapy.
Okay.
And basically what it is it's taking music from your past,
mm-hmm.
you know, music that touches you as an individual. That being said, I believe that live music and music therapy in that way in homes for Alzheimer's is very effective, and it's still needed and should still be done.
Uh-huh.
But I also believe that this personalized music touches you in a very deep way. And my story that I use is, I'm a man in his late 40s who my teen years were around 1980 in that period, and there's music from that time period that I know all the lyrics to that music, and I don't know the lyrics to any music in the last 20 years.
Is that?
You know, so it's, there's something about that music of, you know, when you're growing up,
mm-hmm.
And becoming a young man or woman that really touches you, and that's what Dan has been using, and to see people wake up through this is astonishing, and a lot of people have probably seen this because it went viral on the internet a couple years ago, but there was a man, Henry, that was, you know, in a catatonic state in a nursing home, slumped over in his wheelchair, and they put music on him, and he came alive.
I saw that the clip for Henry, and it was amazing.
It's amazing, right? It's
amazing.
Inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, this film, that was a short clip from the entire film, and they screened it here in New York. A small screening at the Reuben Museum, because the Reuben Foundation has been a great supporter of this and providing money, to produce this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this film, and I had kind of two revelations watching this film.
Okay.
And one of which was I saw this work being done and how effective it was, and the film ended, and I went, wow, music, the power of music. Well, I'm a musician, so that resonated with me, but I understood it, and it's something I've always felt.
Right.
So it wasn't a new revelation. The second thing that I saw was the struggle in the film that Dan has in getting facilities to use this.
Hmm.
And yeah, and you say, well, what is the struggle if it's fairly effective and you wouldn't think it would be harmful,
right,
having people listen to music and enjoy and find peace. So what is the obstacle? Well, the obstacle is money.
Okay.
And most of the facilities will say, well, okay, yeah, we seem to be on board with this. How much is it going to cost? And he says, well, we're looking at, $50 to $70 per resident.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right away. It's met with resistance. And the amazing thing is a lot of these facilities will spend thousands of dollars on medications.
I was going to ask that. Yeah,
absolutely. And so then so why is that? Why is that an obstacle? Well, it's not really a money obstacle. I mean, it is in a sense because it's thinking outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the norm. This is not the way we have dealt with our elderly.
Right.
We have dealt with them by figuring out all the biological things we need to do and set this dial here and that dial here with this medication, and it'll make them feel better and all that,
mm-hmm,
rather than using something that will maybe set the dial on their soul and speak to them in such a way that it may make them feel better physically.
I like what the phrase you just used, set the dial on their soul. I really like that.
Yeah, it's a type of therapy where we're basically asking, our medical staff, our healthcare workers, to address the human,
mm-hmm,
address their human nature. And I think when it comes to elderly, and again, I'm speaking from a layperson and just from dealing with elderly parents and watching my elderly grandparents a lot as a child, because I saw a lot of, what they went through in nursing homes as well. I think we as a nation have kind of dropped the ball with our elderly, and I think we've lost sight on what really matters and how important it is to treat, our elderly with dignity and respect.
Right. They're the basis of this country.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you look at the baby boom generation, they are the largest generation we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now entering their elderly years.
Mm-hmm.
They're just now entering that. And that's why my other side of my life of advocacy is being a lobbyist for legislation for the Alzheimer's Association. We have a huge population that's going into the risk age of Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already an economical crisis in this country. We spent $140 billion last year in the Medicaid system for Alzheimer's.
Mm.
And that's supposed to increase. We have 5.6 million people affected with Alzheimer's right now. With the baby boom generation, by the mid-century, it'll go up to 16 million. And it'll cost us $1.2 trillion a year by then. And over the period of from now until then, it will cost a total of $20 trillion if we're on the same pace we're on right now.
Those are some amazing statistics. Thank you for sharing those numbers.
They're frightening, right?
Yeah, they're frightening.
And
look, the simplest number that I've been looking at is the disease is ranked number 6.
Mm-hmm.
Right up there in the top with cancer and heart disease.
It's amazing how many people still to this day do not even know that it causes death.
Mm-hmm.
They think that that Alzheimer's is you know, it's the sixth leading cause of death in the nation, and when you tell them that, they kind of look at you and go, and you realize that blank stare is not about the fact that it's, you know, any kind of ranking. It's just the fact that you just said, oh, wow, it causes death. They just think it's an old-timer's disease,
right,
and you forget things.
Yeah, it's just forgetfulness, and you're, you know, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's sad. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, it's sad, you know, it's, they forget people and they forget names and all that. They don't realize the catastrophic effect that this disease has.
Mm-hmm.
And what's amazing, too, is it's the only disease of the top 10 diseases in this nation that have no therapy.
Right.
I mean, we can talk about that and say, yes, we have therapy, we have drugs that we use for Alzheimer's, but those drugs have not been proven to be very effective at all.
Right.
And they've only been proven to actually slow the disease, not to actually, you know, stop it or reverse action, reverse course.
So Dave, when you're speaking on Capitol Hill or before Congress, this is some of the information that you're sharing with them.
Yes.
And your goal when you're speaking as a lobbyist is, what is your goal for it?
My goal is, well, we have legislation that's in front of Congress and you know, various acts and bills that we're trying to get passed.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal basically is raising money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, first it was just raising awareness because we were so far behind and even getting people to acknowledge that this was something we need to deal with on a congressional level.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's, okay, we need money. And but it's really, you know, you go to Congress and ask for money, that's pretty hard.
Right.
Especially in the climate on the Hill right now when it comes to asking for money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's essentially what we're doing. And what the picture I paint for them on a personal level, mm-hmm. and I think your listeners would be interested in this, my grandmother, as I said, I'm quite certain died of Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
in the 70s.
Yeah.
And the kind of therapy and the kind of action we took with someone with Alzheimer's in 1970, and now that my parents have Alzheimer's 35 years later, there's really very little developments have happened between those 35 years.
Correct.
The disease has continued and grown in numbers, yet we've done very little about it.
Right.
So that's kind of what I say to a senator or a congressperson, is I say, look what we haven't done, but yet look back on cancer, you know, in the 1970s,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure your guests would also agree with this. We were, you know, I was, you know, a young person in the 1970s, and I remember, like, a neighbor down the block getting cancer, and you didn't talk about that.
Right.
You know, we didn't even say the word cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It was the C word, right?
mm-hmm. It was, and the C word, exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. because it was a death sentence. There was just no hope.
Mm-hmm.
And so you couldn't bear to even, you know, think about it or look at the person knowing that they had no hope.
Right.
And now what do we have? Cancer, people go into remission with cancer.
Yeah.
You know, and we have cancer survivors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, how did that happen? I'll tell you exactly how that happened. $6 billion a year is how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do for cancer. $6 billion a year.
You're right. And now when we say the word, we don't say the C word, we say cancer.
Yeah.
And we don't say, you know, we don't have the sad face because we know that
exactly.
they have a lifetime ahead of them.
That's right. We know that, mm-hmm. that we have the chance of beating this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I know I'm getting off track when it comes
fine.
to the film.
No, that's fine. I want to hear your personal story and you know, taking us back and why you know doing what you do and why you're lobbyists and, you know, how did it affect you and your family and hear your parents' story. So this is perfect. And I'm actually going to allow Amy, because she's going to talk a little bit about music and memory now. And Amy, can you share
great.
A little bit with us, with our listeners, about the initiative happening in Chatham County?
Yeah, sure. So I work at Carolina Meadows, as referenced, as a continuing care retirement community. And one of our missions is to reach out and to serve seniors beyond just those that live in our community, similar to Carol Woods and Galloway and a lot of the CCRCs do around here.
Mm-hmm.
We were interested in trying to meet some needs of seniors in Chatham County, and I talked with our local ombudsman, Charlotte Terwilliger, and she was interested in starting this music and memory program that had been kind of bubbling up from the Triangle J Area Agency on Aging. They were starting it in a few of their other counties.
Mm-hmm.
I invited some of the partner elder care facilities in Chatham. So those would be nursing homes, assisted living. We targeted also the PACE program run through Piedmont Senior Care.
Mm-hmm.
Those that serve seniors that are Medicaid eligible. So we're focusing on those that didn't have as many economic resources and facilities that provide memory care. So we invited them together to tell them about Alive Inside. We showed them the clip about Henry that mm-hmm. Dave referenced that's so moving, and got some buy-in from administration and some of the staff folks that would have to be implementing it. We decided, yes, we want to do this as a county. So we came together and we did a showing of Alive Inside for their staff and for community members to get everyone excited about it and to get them inspired, because it is a very moving movie. And then Carolina Meadows donated some funds to help people go through the certification process. So interested facilities can go through 3 webinars that Dan Cohen leads online, and then you become a certified institution or, you know, organization. And then we also provided some support for the organizations to get equipment so that they could actually start, because you do, as Dave referenced, you do need money to buy the iPods and mm-hmm. the headphones and the speakers and other things. So we gave them all equipment to get started. 15 is what we started with, because they were smaller communities. Mm-hmm. And then we meet regularly, which we think has been important. So besides the obstacle of having money to do this program, it takes a lot of time is what we're finding from the staff perspective, because yeah. you have to interview the resident, and if the resident or client has memory issues, then you need to go to the family members, you mm-hmm. need to talk to the staff. The whole point of this program being so effective is that it has to be music that speaks to the individual. So you have to do a lot of music digging around and some kind of history. That takes time, and then you have to do the programming of the iPod, which also takes time. Some of the folks in the communities aren't as familiar with iTunes, so it's definitely a learning curve. Mm-hmm. And then we meet regularly as partner agencies.
I don't know what's going on with our technology, but
we meet regularly as partner agencies to support each other and talk about how is the program rolling out in your community, what are things that's working well, how are ways we could change, you know, to learn from each other. So that's what's happening now, and it's similar programs are happening also in Orange County and in Wake County.
So
and
tell
in Durham
me this,
County.
How long has the initiative been going on in Chatham County?
Yeah, in Chatham County, we started last November is when we showed Alive Inside. Okay. And then they got their equipment in December. And so it's just been going, you know, six months
okay.
or so.
Okay. So Dave, you've heard what we're doing here in Chatham County, and Galloway is in Chatham County, Galloway region. So we're joining the initiative.
Very excited about
we
that.
We are excited.
So that will be all of them.
I'm super excited about that.
Yeah.
So when we talk about collaborations like what we're doing here in Chatham, is that what's happening in New York as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, Dan, of course, you know, I call him the mothership.
Yes,
and since, you know, he's here, obviously he's gotten a lot of facilities, you know, involved.
Good.
You know, it's you know, and maybe Amy can speak more to this. I can't remember the statistics, but it's like, I don't know, 10,000 elderly facilities in the United States or something like that. It's pretty astounding.
Yes,
and so
growing.
You know, so there's this giant mountain, you know, that we should be conquering, and people like Amy are how we start, you know, because they're making it happen in their own communities and their own facilities, and what's amazing, and I always say this about anything that I've done as an advocate, is it's exciting because if you speak about it mm-hmm. or if you do it, I always say you just start. If you just do something, other people, they hear that, and then they do something.
Yeah.
And it's inspiring to see other people pick up the torch and actually, you know, continue and expand what you're talking about or what you're doing.
It can be.
And that's how this works.
Yeah, it can be infectious and contagious, and that's what you want, something like this.
Absolutely.
To spread.
Yeah. And I think on the Music and Memory website, which is musicandmemory.org, their mm-hmm. national website, you can see the list of facilities and communities that have been certified. And in North Carolina, they're 28 already, which is mm-hmm. great. Majority
that's
of them
great.
Are right here in the Triangle, led by the initiatives coming out a lot, supported by the Triangle J Area Agency on Aging. You'll see a lot of communities around there, but 28 is a really great number for the state.
I was going to ask, how are we doing as
we're
a state?
We're great. I mean, there's other places such as Toronto, mm-hmm. which has a program through their Alzheimer's Association where they give out free iPods to anyone that's been diagnosed with a dementia.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, they have thousands and thousands going out, which is wonderful. Those are going into the homes as well. And then I believe the only state that has fully supported it so far has been Wisconsin. They have a really interesting initiative where they, as a state, are supporting each skilled nursing facility to go through the process. I think they have over I can't remember the exact amount, but they're getting close to almost all of their facilities, I believe, being certified. So that's a statewide effort. And then in North Carolina, we're doing it, you know, county by county, but it's a regional thing now in the triangle.
Okay, so we'll have to call the governor's office later today.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
We're going to be standing.
We're ready to advocate.
This is the second time we've challenged the governor on this show, so I don't know if they're going to pull the plug eventually on this show. We challenged the governor's office. If he's listening, he's probably pulling the plug right now on licensing WCM. But for the Blue Zone and the Healthy State Initiative, Iowa has the Healthiest State Initiative, and and so they're going from tier to tier, becoming the healthiest state in the country. And so knowing that Iowa is doing that, and this all kinds of ties together, that, you know, you can talk, that you can actually incorporate music and memory kind of almost into that healthy state concept and Blue Zone. So anyway, so pretty soon the governor's going to take... maybe he'll call me back now.
One other thing I wanted to mention about the local initiatives is that a lot of them are led by the Department on Aging, such as in Orange County, or the Council on Aging in Chatham County, and we're trying to expand it beyond just facilities and make it a real community-wide initiative by doing iPod drives, and then also starting to have in based in our Department on Aging or Council on Aging, having an iPod loan library, which would be available to folks that might have lower income, that have individuals in their home, spouses, parents that they might be caretaking for, where they could get one of these iPods, loan it out, get some training about how to set up the personalized playlist, and then it could be used in a community setting just as effectively, of course, as it could be in a facility or community.
I love that. So, Dave, tell us a little bit about your parents, a little bit more about your mom and dad. How are they doing now?
Well, they're both in a nursing home, an actual house that's just, I think there are about 7 or 8, 9 residents in that home. It's actually an organization called Comfort Care Homes in Kansas. I think they have locations in 3 different cities. And, you know, my mom is much further along than my dad. My dad is fully conversational. He's a little more edgy than he used to be, I think. You know, he's kind of a little angrier state. My mother is, she has no language now. She hasn't really had language for at least 3 years, or seems like it's been longer, but maybe only 3 years. And so that's, when I saw the film, I kind of thought, I need to, like, see this in a personal level.
Okay.
You know, instead of just watching the film and going, oh, wow, look at Henry, and look at, you know, look at this work with all these people I don't know. So, kind of, and Amy talked about this, about the time it takes to put together a personalized playlist. The thing about that I think is really fantastic about this program is that event of putting together a personal playlist, which we did for my mother, it can be a very therapeutic event for the family. Because you have, you know, when that happened with us, I'm the youngest of 7. So, you know, when my mom was obviously, none of us remember when she was obviously a teenager in her early 20s, when a lot of the music, you know, impacts our lives. But, you know, my older brothers and sisters remember more about her music than maybe I would. So we as a family, you know, over the phone, over the internet, you know, got involved and were like, started sharing stories about music, and it was hilarious. You know, we all had an amazing laugh over it, because I've, like most diseases, and I think, I don't know, in particular with Alzheimer's, I always say, you know, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. So, you know, you have to at some point just, you know, chuckle over the things that are happening with your parents, because they're odd sometimes in Alzheimer's, but they're also very sad. And so that event of picking their music is just a wonderful therapeutic moment, and that's what we did. And I took it home to my mom, and I videoed it. And if any of your audience wants to see it, it's on the internet. Just type in my name, Dave Roth, and probably Alzheimer's, and you'll see my mom's video, because it's amazing to watch her.
I did too.
Have you seen it?
I did.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and there are moments to me that are very personal during that video, and one of them is just the first time the music goes through the earphones in her ears. You know, it's the look on her face. She gets so, you know, startled and happiness, you know, and it's just wonderful. You just think, my God, it's just flooding her with memories. And the amazing part is, like I said, she had, at that time, she had about a 4-word vocabulary, And I sat there and listened to her and sung with her all these different, you know, lyrics. And she was saying words I haven't heard in years.
A four-word vocabulary, and she was singing.
That's
amazing.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, this is someone you can't find words, but when music's on, she can find them. And how amazing must that be?
I know.
You know, we don't know.
And you know, and that's priceless.
It's priceless. It exactly. It's, you know what? It's $50 to $70, and look what that's done. You know, look what that's done. And yet, you know, I handle my family's finances. You know, I help out with running the finances for my dad and everything. And I see the amount of money that goes out on medications. You know, and all those, you know, drugs. And it's just like, oh my gosh. And yet here is this tiny little $50 iPod shuffle. And it's like that. What I see that doing with my mom seems a lot more effective than some of the other things that I see being used.
Oh, that's amazing.
And something else you said, Dave, is that I think it gives families a sense of kind of empowerment. Like, here's something I can actually do, you know, because when you hear, oh, someone you love has Alzheimer's, you're kind of like, whoa, you know, what am I going to do? Well, this is something concrete people can really do, particularly in the early stages, if they, you know, can do a music inventory and it's something then you can share, you can put on earphones with split cables or just turn it on a CD, and something that they can do actively and feel really involved in the care and love of their person in their family that's suffering from it.
Yeah, because a lot of times if you're visiting a loved one with Alzheimer's, they're not interacting. And so you're sitting there, because I know my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and they didn't call it Alzheimer's when she had Alzheimer's. It was just forgetful, and she just, like, you know, like they mentioned, a lot of times they actually die from a different diagnosis, but then all along they have Alzheimer's. But back in the 70s and 80s, they didn't even think about that. They didn't even mention that as the primary diagnosis. It was something else. And they never talked about Alzheimer's at all. Just that they're getting old, they're forgetful at this point. But just imagine if you're sitting there, a lot of times you go visit them, and I remember visiting my grandmother and she couldn't interact with me. We didn't know what do we do. We're just in the room. You know, with her. And so if you have these headphones, and like you say, you could put on a splitter and you could interact, and you're creating that relationship, and you're just creating an opportunity to be with them, not just sitting in the room.
A similar story, my grandfather, who's not alive anymore, had Alzheimer's. And towards the end of his disease, when he wasn't speaking a whole lot either and wasn't able to identify any family members, he and my granny were ballroom dancers for fun. And so we would be able to put on ballroom dance music. And I mean, if he wouldn't get up, take her hands and still lead her in dancing to the music, you know. And so it was this it was a connection between the two of them, you know, that they certainly had lost, you know, long ago from the disease. And I mean, it was just beyond moving to be able to see that music memory, not only in remembering, you know, the words and the song, but his body also had the physical memory of, you know, dancing to the music, which was beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, Dave, we really appreciate you being on our show today and sharing your family story and your passion and being a lobbyist and everything you're doing, being an advocate and so on. So we really thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing all this. It's wonderful. And thank you, Amy, for all that you're doing as well. That's really amazing.
It's a team effort.
It is. It is a team effort.
Absolutely.
Well, we are going to let you head back to New York. It's almost lunchtime there.
Thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, we have such a wonderful show today, and it's just makes such a difference in everybody's lives. And we're trying to, I'm trying to keep dry eyes here in the show today, and there's not a single bit of tissue in here. Lynn has tissue for me in case I can't contain myself, which I thought a moment ago I was going to overflow. But so now we're going to move on into the rest of the show. And while we're chatting, Amy, let's talk about the 5K really quickly. So the 5K is coming up at Galloway Ridge. Supporting Alzheimer's North Carolina. It's on September 13th. The pre-registration is at 8 o'clock. The whistle will blow at 9 o'clock for these 5K runners to thank you so much, Lynn. Lynn's passing me tissue. Thank you. So the 5K will start promptly at 9 o'clock, and we'll end about 11. We have food trucks, music, and different vendors on site. And the vendors on site, most of them are associated with some service, a product related to seniors. So come out and meet some new opportunities, meet some new folks, new companies who may have a service or something that you might want to benefit from or could learn from. Music and Memory is going to be on site at Carolina Meadows table, as well as, well, we're going to do the iPod drive collection right at the registration table.
Yes, yes.
And so that's going to be exciting. So what type of iPods should people bring?
We're encouraging anyone to bring any iPod that they have. If you have a gently used iPod from the past, we don't care what model it is. You should see our collection of big and small, all sizes in between. The Music and Memory often buys new Nano. There's the rather smaller ones, but we actually can use any. And so when what happens is when you donate it, we just restore it back to factory settings. So all your music goes away, nothing identifiable.
Okay.
And then we are going to set up that loan program that I referenced through the Chatham County Council on Aging for people to be able to loan them out. And then we're also going to distribute some back into the community to some of our facilities that are Music and Memory certified that are in need of additional ones.
So when you have the iPod, so where would the program actually get their headphones?
Well, so far Carolina Meadows has been sponsoring some of the additional equipment that's needed with that.
So everything will be put together.
We can't take headphones due to sanitary reasons.
Okay,
but
I
we
see.
Can take any iPod.
Okay.
If you want to buy one, that's great. If anyone wants to get any iTunes gift cards, if they're feeling like that's something else they want to raise funds for, they're welcome to do that too.
Excellent, excellent. So any size iPod, iTunes cards.
And if they want to get involved in the volunteer effort, we'll have a sign-up sheet there as well.
Good. Great. So, listeners, we are doing a challenge, as we love to do here, to make sure that you sign up to register for the 5K. It's the Chatham County Alzheimer's North Carolina Walk and 5K. It's on Saturday, September 13th. Pre-registration is at 8 o'clock, and the 5K starts probably at 9 o'clock a.m. And then there's a leisure walk that's going to happen at the same time right through Galloway Ridge through the villas. The 5K actually goes through Farrington Village, and then the walk goes through the villas at Galloway Ridge. And so the walk is about 3/4 of a mile through the villas. Very leisurely walk, so no stress. And so you can register at sportofton.com. Just in this event tab, just search for Chatham County, and it will bring up the run and the walk. So you can register online. And if you register before August 15th, the registration is $25. Afterwards, it is $30. So after the 15th, which is tomorrow, Friday, is $30. So I expect everyone to register today to get the early registration fee. So I should be getting a lot of emails today for registration notifications. So please support this effort. Again, all the dollars raised from this event stay right here in North Carolina, supporting Alzheimer's North Carolina, benefiting Chatham County and all the other 99 counties here in North Carolina and the folks who live here. So that was my shameless plug. So, Lynn, are you ready?
I think so.
Very good. Very good. So Lynn Sadler, she's going to talk with us a little bit and share some history on a resident. And I'm going to let Lynn introduce our resident and tell us a little bit about this wonderful, amazing woman who lives at Galloway Ridge.
I think I'm coming at this from a bit of a different perspective, in that this particular individual a year ago was told that she had early onset Alzheimer's.
A year ago.
The problem is, what makes her spectacular and different, I think, as an example, she knows Alzheimer's. She has had a career in services that deal with it.
Okay.
Let me share some of what this woman has done.
Please do.
And I would tell you this, just from listening to Amy and to Dan Roth and to Pat and others, I have come to the conclusion that Alzheimer's slowly savors its victims as it eats them alive.
Yeah.
And I think it's that mind inside that is what we are trying very hard to get out.
That's true.
The woman I would like to present to you is Martha Lillian Henderson. She lives in Galloway Ridge, but her bio is quite spectacular. 2 years at Meredith, 4 years in Duke School of Nursing. She worked at San Francisco General. She has gone under the auspices of the United Methodist Committee on Overseas Relief to train young women in Nha Trang, South Vietnam. She spent 8 hours a day learning the language. She was there for some 2 years. She became a family nurse practitioner and a geriatric nurse practitioner at the UNC School of Nursing. Mm-hmm. She has a Master's of Divinity from Yale. She was the first director of inpatient services at Carol Woods Retirement Community for 10 years.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. She spent a summer as a missionary nurse in Loma Linda, Colombia, teaching continuing education. Mm-hmm. She received her doctorate of ministry from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, and her dissertation was Preparing for a Good Death. Can you imagine?
Oh, my goodness.
She was a nurse practitioner at the VA Medical Center in Durham. She spent 6 years in Cape Town, South Africa, as a missionary nurse. 6 months, I beg your pardon. She was on the Faculty Scholars Program of the Open Society Institute's Project on Death in America. She retired in 2000 after 10 years on the faculty at UNC School of Nursing. After that, she has continued. The Duke School of Nursing has given her a Distinguished Alumna Award. She's received a Certificate of Commendation from the Board of Directors of the North Carolina Nurses Association. She received special and loving recognition from the Nurses of Columbia, if you would believe. She, in 2003, was the lead writer on the book Improving Nursing Home Care of the Dying, a training manual for nursing home staff. When I say she knows what she's talking about and what she's suffering from, you obviously have to believe that. After all of this, she served as a transition consultant and gave 6-week workshop series on the gift of life, aging well. She's been on the ethics committee at UNC Hospitals. She's been a clinical associate faculty member at Duke's Institute on Care at the End of Life. As I said, in 2013, she found out that the disease was eating her alive. And I should say, she knows about it personally, too. Her mother and her aunt both had Alzheimer's, though the mother died of a stroke officially, and her aunt of a heart attack. Her philosophy remains to live life to the fullest in every moment and to make plans for the future. She met her husband, Dr. Carl Henley, who is a statistician, when he attended a sermon she preached at Binkley American Baptist Church in Chapel Hill. They've been married 33 years. Martha is an avid walker. She is a dancer. She will dance to anything. It's wonderful. She's tall and lithe and attractive. She sings with the Galloway Ridge Singers. She goes to the arbor to help sing, to entertain the people who are there and not in independent living. I might share, and Pat asked me to do this, I might share a poem that she published in Palliative and Supportive Care, which came out from Cambridge University Press. It is called The Face of One Who Is Dying, and it was written as her mother was dying from Alzheimer's disease and that stroke I mentioned. The loved one who is dying has a very special face. No matter what the appearance, it leads us to a special place. There's more than lines and wrinkles. There's more than words can say. The face of one who's dying leads us back away. to times of fun and sweetness, to times of sadness and joy, to times of struggles and forgiveness, to times of much, much more. Now that face is different, tired, and ready to go, that face of poignant connection of times long ago. The face is still our connection to one whose hand we hold. We look for recognition from one who's gotten old. No matter whether there's knowing that shows upon the face, there's knowing in one's presence, the gift of holy grace. The face of one who is dying shows we're soon to part. The face of one who is dying leads us to our heart. Isn't that wonderful?
That's amazing.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And she wrote this and published it in 2003?
Correct.
Okay.
Before she knew what was happening to her, though, of course, she suspected since her aunt and her mother had had Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing poem. I love that. So, Lynn, share with us your conversations and some of your conversations. And I know you're writing a news article right now about Martha. Can you share some of the conversations you've had with Martha and some of her stories and interactions that you've had with Martha over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I didn't realize until Carl, her husband, told me that anything was wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
She is always happy, always upbeat. She walks the halls at Galloway Ridge, and when I questioned her about that, I said, I assume the reason is that you want to help other people and interact with them. And she admitted that freely. She goes to all those who have come in new and tries to meet them and tries to touch them in some way. And particularly those who may be in a wheelchair or otherwise confined by difficulty walking or something. She is a friend. She really goes out of her way to be a friend. My husband Emery and I had dinner with the Henleys. She uses her own name, Henderson, rather than Henley, but Carl Henley is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that she had the Alzheimer's. Of course, I wouldn't have known what to say, or I wouldn't even have suspected anything. And several things since then have come to my attention. I talked with her about them. She asked me not to share a few of them.
Okay.
But she's very open generally about this. She will announce it to anyone that she has early onset Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
She so desperately wants us to do the kinds of things that Amy and Dan were describing to get some attention to this and make some changes in its treatment.
And did she recently announced?
Yes. I do, as you know, I do a journal of creative writing and other kinds of writing for Galloway Ridge, and I featured her poem and the cover of her book in the last issue. She came to the reading and read that poem. She did cry at the end. I think there was hardly a dry eye in the audience.
Mm.
And then she returned to her seat, and I have to laugh at myself about this. I had gone on to other readers and called them up, and suddenly she's raising her hand, and I have to admit that I wondered if she had forgotten that she had read. I had no reason to believe it, but it just passed through my mind. But what she wanted to do was come back to the microphone and tell everybody that she had Alzheimer's. So it's that giving that is maybe more amazing than anything else.
But the person that she is, the person she has been all of her life, is still there.
Right. And we certainly hope it stays as long as possible. And who knows, maybe something will come through. She's already doing music. Mm-hmm. You know, she's very much into singing and dancing, mm-hmm. as I said. So will this help her anymore? She probably is already where we would like others to be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for something new, something to help her
mm-hmm.
and others who have the same kind of situation.
I know we talked, Lynn is on my Alzheimer's committee mm-hmm. as well. She's part of our committee, and we talked about the faces of Alzheimer's and about Martha, that she is definitely should be the face of our campaign. And I agree, and we would be honored if that's something that she wanted to be, because she's just an amazing person, and hearing her story.
She has participated in a number of races and walks to raise money for mm-hmm. other charities, so I'm sure she will.
And she was at our walk last year,
wasn't she?
Yes,
she was.
Mm-hmm. And she was there dancing with the music
yes.
and everything. Yes, I remember. We had such a great band last year. And we will this year. It's a little silent joke between Lynn and I about the band. If there's any band out there, by the way.
There you go.
That wants to provide wonderful music on Saturday morning the 13th, we're looking for a band that would actually donate their time and services to play some really great music for a wonderful group of folks to hang out and dance and celebrate and after we walk. So I know I'll be getting a lot of calls later on for that, too.
Oh, I certainly hope so. Actually, I think I mentioned to you that I've done some poetry about the effect of music
mm-hmm.
on people, and particularly those who are in nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had an inkling of that a long time.
So what are some of the things that I know you mentioned that Martha continues to give back in the visit in the arbor? She loves music. She loves going over to Duke Center for Living, and she always walks. I always see her in the hallway. She has certain T-shirts that she loves to wear from different things that she's done. And I remember one conversation I had with Martha, and she shared with me that she does a hunger drive. Has she?
Yes.
She's done a hunger drive.
That's one of those I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. So she does amazing things. She gives back so much and has given back in her life, and she continues. She's giving back now and touching all of us, sharing her story.
But imagine having done all that
mm-hmm.
and having to know much about Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
and then being confronted with it.
I know.
Herself.
Mm-hmm. Because she's walked, she's lived a life, she's worked in this industry, she's her family. Alzheimer's in her family. She's worked in the retirement community industry at Carol Woods for, 10 years
right.
at Carol Woods. And now, as you said, to be confronted with it now in her retirement years. That she, I'm sure, you know, it's just, that's not anything that anybody could ever imagine. How is her husband, Carl? I mean, I'm sure Carl is very active as well. He golfs, and I don't know what other activity he does. I know he's an avid golfer.
Right. Mm-hmm. He is indeed. He taught, actually, I'm going to tell this. He is a cousin of a former governor,
mm-hmm.
Governor Hunt.
Okay.
And he was a cheerleader at NC State when he was there. Right, yes, with his cousin. But he went on, he's worked for public health. And he has a doctorate in statistics, as I mentioned. Carl, unfortunately, had a stroke early on
mm-hmm.
that left one of his legs needing to have a brace. Mm-hmm. So if you see him on the dance floor or walking the halls, you will see him dragging that leg, and it will be in the brace.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had his own difficulties.
Right.
And continues to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
He and Martha dance together, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful.
As you said, they continue to overcome
right.
these challenges.
They both do. So,
the amazing, amazing people, amazing individuals, and amazing couple married for 33 years.
He met her when he went to hear her preach at a church, as I said. But she's told me just yesterday that he didn't remember a thing about the sermon. He just thought she was pretty.
I love it.
And he pursued her for some 5 years.
5 years?
She wouldn't give him a direct answer.
Persistent.
Yes.
And finally, for Valentine, she sent him a card saying, "Roses are red, violets are blue. If you'll marry me, I'll marry you."
She sent that card to Carl.
Right.
Oh.
After he had asked her, and she wouldn't give him an answer. But that's typical of her sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Amazing.
And she certainly hasn't lost that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't interact with Martha's, I don't see her as much in the hallways, but when I do, she always has a smile on her face. She always, it just comes up and asks you, "So what you doing today?"
Right.
she just wants to know, and then she'll start talking, whatever you're talking about, what you're doing, and then she'll tell you what she's doing. And
once she meets you, she will bring you a copy of the poem I read.
Yeah.
And talk about her mother.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So we're getting close to the end of our show, which is amazing. We got this far. So Amy, let's do a quick recap. Yeah. Amy, tell us what's going on.
Well, I wanted to just share, we'd mentioned a couple times about this movie, Alive Inside, that's mm-hmm. really powerful. It is coming in August 25th. There's mm-hmm. an opportunity to see it locally at the Carolina Theater in Durham, in their movie theater. And it's only showing one time, I believe, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's worth missing work for.
It is.
So it's on August 25th at 2 o'clock. It's part of a nationwide showing. It's going throughout the country. Mm-hmm. It was shown at the 2014 Sundance Documentary Film Festival this year, and it won their audience award. So it's received a lot of recognition due to that, and it's now touring the country. My understanding, fingers crossed, is that once it's made its way across country, it is supposed to eventually come out through Netflix. So everyone will have the availability. It's not there yet, but my understanding is they do hope to have it on Netflix, so everyone will be able to access that moving movie. And then I wanted to just share, if people were interested in getting involved, that in Chatham County, right now, I'm probably the best contact, even though we have many, many partners working on this. People can contact me if they're interested in learning more. My email is Amy, A-M-Y, at carolinameadows.net. And if you live in Orange County or are interested in learning about their Orange County Music in My Mind initiative, that's being led by the Orange County Department on Aging. And you can call their Aging Transitions helpline to learn more at 919-968-2087. And lastly, if you're in Durham listening and you're interested in learning about what's happening there, their ombudsman is the best contact. Her name is Carmelita Karhoff, and her number is 919-558-2714. And again, that national website is musicinmemory.org. It has a lot of great film. You can see the little clip of Henry there, and you can see all kinds of other references, research about how effective this intervention has been with individuals as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm going to do a quick shout-out reminder of the 5K on September 13th at Galloway Ridge in Pittsburgh. And you can come out and meet Martha.
She'll be there.
She will be there.
And I guarantee she will meet everyone there, one way or another.
One way or another. And that's amazing. Come out and meet Martha. If you're in New York, please look up our special guest, Mr. Dave Roth. He is somewhere on Broadway performing somewhere at the Intermusic World in New York City. Please look him up and see what shows he's in. And, of course, Lynn Sadler, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're very welcome.
And Lynn will be at the 5K as well. Thank you all so much, and have a wonderful day.